Back.
Episode 15 confirmed. It's written down on my notes. We know.
15, this is Gus. Baby.
This is Gus. I'm with Cousin Bailey.
What's up?
I haven't said the name of the show yet. Roadhouse. Jake Gyllenhaal played a fucking amazing. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Wrong Roadhouse.
Wow.
This is
wow.
Patrick Swayze, baby. Patrick Swayze.
The Sways.
He's so hot.
Who's going to argue with you?
He's so hot. Oh, man. Patrick Swayze.
God, he was something else, man.
Mrs. Gus was interested in this movie.
Good.
Yeah.
Mrs. Cousin Bailey is still on her family. She's in Mississippi. So she's coming back soon, though. Thank God. But yeah, I know she likes this movie. I know she likes Mr. Swayze, as we've known around here. I think he's just so awesome. And I think this is like the second week or this is, I keep talking about like guy crushes I got on this podcast. I'm probably should stop soon, but no, Swayze is up there.
You're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is an outstanding movie. You know, we were talking to the green room, how normally we do rewatches, which we did on this one.
Of course.
We take copious notes for the most part. That really didn't happen for either of us on this rewatch because
no.
We were just so entranced by this movie.
I fanboyed out a lot watching this.
Big time. Roadhouse.
Roadhouse. Do you know that?
Yeah, yeah, Peter
Family
Griffin.
Guy.
Yeah.
I kept saying that in my head. I haven't watched Family Guy in 10 years. No, more than 10 years. Roadhouse.
Roadhouse. It's fantastic.
Go. I mean, 1989. I just want to make sure that's clear. I mean, this is getting to be a classic.
Oh, getting to be. This is a classic.
If there's a technical way of, you know, like requirement, time frame requirement. I mean, this is there.
Yeah. Although it didn't do well at the box office.
No.
Did not do well. Swayze was a little crushed, actually, because he was coming off a Ghost. He was looking for another box office smash. It didn't happen.
Dirty Dancing?
I'm sorry, Dirty Dancing. Yeah. He did Ghost post this. So he was coming off of Dirty Dancing, looking for another hit movie. This one really didn't take off until it got to a Blockbuster Video. And a note on Blockbuster Video, Mrs. Gus, we are cleaning up around the house, doing the deep, deep, very late spring cleaning. And she found one of our old Blockbuster membership cards.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That thing needs to be framed. I hope y'all didn't throw it away.
I hope she didn't. I told her don't throw it away.
No. That is like an archive. That needs to be put in a, I guess it has been put in a time capsule. You just unearthed it.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was nuts.
That is so cool.
Yeah, and I just remembered it. That's why I didn't say anything to you before in the green room.
Have you heard that joke? It's like somebody's buying alcohol and they open their wallet and their Blockbuster card falls out and someone goes, never mind, I don't need to see your ID. It's one of those.
Speaking of buying alcohol, what you drinking, bud?
Man, what am I not drinking? No, I'm not quite a bit. I don't know why I said that. I'm drinking Elijah Craig, a private barrel. It's a 121 proof bourbon whiskey. I'm kind of picking and choosing in my collection and finished off the Buffalo Trace from last week this evening. As I said, my wife's been out of town. So, you know, two kids trying to keep it together.
All right. Well,
so that bottle ended, but yes. So Elijah Craig, private barrel. It's fabulous.
All right. So if you've been drinking bourbon and now you're on a 121 proof, I'm going to say adios viernes, your Friday's toast.
No, I've got a good meeting tomorrow at 10:30. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's poor planning, but, everybody was available Friday at 10:30. So, I think it's going to be a friendly meeting, but regardless, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I can't mail anything in, but like I said, it's a friendly meeting, but, BNNS is still in play.
Okay.
How about you, bud?
I'm disappointed in what I'm drinking. I'm not disappointed by what it is. It's fine. It's a easy drinking. I normally have it when I day drink. It's one of my go-tos when I day drink. Yingling Flight.
Yes.
So yeah. It's very weak sauce. And now you're drinking heavy stuff. So I think when we go to a break,
Yeah.
which if the audience doesn't know, we go to breaks, we take breaks, we're old.
We do.
I'll probably grab something a little bit more darker in color.
I've got a canned beverage in the hopper, so I'm
Okay.
on board with that. It's just I just wanted something a little, you know. I was trying to think, like, you know, this movie is about a bar and everything that comes with it, and so, you know, like, I was trying to think of, you know, if there was a reference to a drink in the movie, and you know, there were some references to drinks that being ordered, but one part that always stuck out was when, you know, I'm not skipping ahead here. It's just, this is regarding, you know, the consumption of beverages. Dalton, that's played by Patrick Swayze, goes up and says, you know, he wants a refill on his drink. And the guy says he wants coffee, basically. And he says, leaded or unleaded. And like, all throughout my 20s, I'd always just be like, does he mean with alcohol or without alcohol? And I'm, obviously, that goes to that, that says a lot more about me than anything else. Because in the coffee world, that means caffeinated or decaffeinated. And you know, so he says leaded, and so I'm always like, wait, is he drinking on the job? And then of course I'm like, stop thinking like a 20-year-old, you idiot. You know, like, he means caffeinated, because he's got to be up basically all night, so that's why he's drinking coffee at, you know, 10 o'clock at night. So then I was like, well, maybe I should just drink like a coffee and bourbon. And then I realized that's insane to do at the time we're recording this. You know, it's almost certain, you know, it's definitely after 8 o'clock Eastern times.
You could have done a decaf in a bourbon.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna buy decaf. What am I gonna do with
Okay,
that?
yeah, I know. Don't do
What am I
that.
gonna do with
I'd make fun of
fucking
you.
decaf? Yeah, exactly. I'd make fun of myself.
Yeah. Sorry to
So
offend the decaf drinkers in the world.
no, I mean, they exist. They're wonderful people, you know. Obviously, please don't shadow ban us or cancel us. You know, it's funny, and you said Yingling. I was at a cousin's kid's baptism on Sunday, and I went up to the bar and I got a drink, and he went up with me, and he was like, well, I almost said my real name, but he's like, cuz it's all Yingling back there, man. American brewery, you know, just going on. He's like, they got this, they got this, you know. He's just going on and on about Yingling, and I'm not making fun of him. It's just like, man, that does sound good. I remember Yingling tasting so good, and I haven't had it in quite a while. And now I know they have a Yingling Light. My
Oh,
goodness.
they have a golden ale, which is really good.
Do
They
they have
do have a Ying.
an
They have
IPA maybe?
no, they don't do any of that. No,
Okay, that's
Yingling.
cool.
But they
That's
have a
fine.
Yingling Light. But then this is Yingling Flight.
Okay,
So
what's Yingling Flight?
it's a I don't know. It's lighter than their light. The
Percentage?
generation of light beer.
So it's
I
like
don't know.
ultra?
Yeah, we'll call it that. It's like an ultra.
That's cool.
Yeah,
You know, I went to, I don't, do you remember, I know you remember, and this is more a question, rhetorical question for the audience, but the burger joint El Cap here in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yes.
I used to get Michelob there.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Michelob with that, you know, like that
Yeah.
triangle looking bottle? I mean, obviously
Yeah.
it's a cone top of the bottle. And so we went there. I took my kids there for the first time in forever. I mean, I've never taken both of them there. And we were there, and I said, I'll have a Michelob. And the lady was like, sure. And I knew she was one of the old waitresses from the old days. And she comes back and she goes, I don't know what I'm thinking. We don't have Michelob anymore. I don't think they make it, you know?
I don't think they do either.
And so I was like, I'll have an Ultra, you know, just because I am trying to watch my weight. But I was just like, it was like a staple. I used to always get the Michelobs there.
Yeah,
They don't have Michelob anymore.
Michelob was my go-to.
Yeah,
Like anywhere. I loved Michelob.
it's a delicious beer. And you
Yeah.
know, it was in a lot of movies too in the 80s. It was like in this License to Kill. It was a James Bond movie when he was down in the Keys. It was in Star Trek IV, and I mean, it just looks so delicious when they're drinking it, you know.
Yeah.
Golden, just beautiful.
I
I
don't
want one
even,
right
they
now.
don't make Michelob Light anymore, I don't
No, I think
think.
it's straight up
It's just
Ultra now.
Ultra. That's
Yeah.
it.
Well, I mean, I think there's enough frat people and sorority girls that are drinking Ultra. Of
Yeah.
course, I got to believe that that's going away with seltzers too, though. I mean, that's going to be a victim to seltzers, because do people really give a
Seltzers.
shit?
Seltzers.
I know, scumbag operation. Can you believe that nonsense?
Yeah. I see
Horrible
ya.
people.
I see people,
disgusting. No, you don't see nothing.
I see you there.
You don't see nothing. So, I know we just kind of, we went on a tangent, but that's what this podcast is all about. I'm not trying to steal any thunder here, but I want to mention this movie, Roadhouse 1989, directed by Rowdy Harrington. Did you ever see, he directed Repo Man with Emilio? I never saw it.
Never saw it. I know what it is,
also,
though.
He also, yeah, same. He also directed Striking Distance with my boy Bruce Willis. Have you seen that?
It's one of my all-time favorites.
Okay, good, bad movies, like your favorite, like, or do you actually think it's good? I want to know, because I like it a lot. I don't know what the problem is, why people don't like it, but it's panned, generally speaking.
Yeah. I can't put my finger on it, right? Like, it's, I'll say this. I don't know if it's a good movie, but it's a movie when it comes, if it's on, I'm watching it.
Right?
110% I am watching Striking Distance.
I love the boats, man. Does that attract you at all? Like those freaking, those power boats they drive up and down the rivers? No?
The old wooden ones are cool.
Yeah. You know? Chris Crafts.
Yeah. I don't know. There's just something about that movie that's really good. There's a lot of corny in it. A lot of corny. A lot of cliche.
I like the concept. A serial killer is back after 5 years or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
A couple of years. I don't want to spoil the ending to that, but it's got a pretty cool twist ending. And, you know, who's in it? Oh, man, that old guy who was on Barney Miller.
I don't remember his name.
Well, whatever.
Well, Dennis.
Dennis Farina. Yeah.
Dennis Farina. Yeah.
Dennis Farina, of course. That's what I mean. He's in it. Bruce Willis is in it. The guy who played the dad in Frasier's in it. There's a lot of, you know.
Sizemore.
Tom Sizemore. And then.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yep. Sarah Jessica Parker. Timothy. The first baseman in Little Big League.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of. The redheaded guy. Yeah,
the redheaded guy. His name.
He's in it. The guy that he always plays a villain. He was in 48 Hours. He was in Tango and Cash.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to bring up Tango and Cash later.
Good.
He was in Tango and Cash. I can't remember his actual name, but he always plays like a villain.
Yes.
Like a muscle guy.
Yep. I think he was a bad guy. He was a bad guy in a futuristic kind of movie where he played like muscle too. He had a goatee or a terrible, like a funky beard. But yeah, I mean, that was, man, that I don't know. I mean, look, we can go on and on about the qualities of Striking Distance. And I'm sure our illustrious colleague, Malt Liquor, sitting here rolling his eyes. But if he's,
Does he listen?
But, I mean, look, it was written by a couple of people I've never heard of. I tried to do a little research on that, but this isn't that kind of podcast. R. Lance Hill and Hillary Henkin. Do you have recasts in this, or should we just like ace through the cast real quick?
I had one. I can't remember who it was. I have one. I only have one recast in it. By the way, Joel Silver produced this.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big name.
Big time.
On the production side. The only recast I have, unlike last episode where I had 10,000 recasts.
Really interesting. I liked it. And it was a great segue too. Just saying, please don't doubt yourself. That was wonderful.
Okay. I won't doubt myself. Maybe I have a little imposter syndrome. But no, the only recast I had was for Doc, and that was Annette Bening.
Right. But she, Kelly Lynch, who eventually took the role, suggested or stated that
there was no chemistry there. There was no,
no chemistry between Annette Bening and Patrick Swayze. Now, I got to wonder, that's got to be an Annette Bening problem. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
Because how could you not have chemistry with, Dirty Dancing?
Exactly. Maybe she didn't want to get nude.
So, I mean, now that we're talking about this, I'm not a huge Dirty Dancing fan, and I appreciate parts of it. There are certain parts of it I just cannot stand. But to me, the holy trinity of Patrick Swayze movies off the top of my head are, well, I mean, The Outsiders is good, but I don't really think he had like the biggest part in that. No. But Red Dawn.
Yep.
This and then Point Break.
Yeah.
Those are like three of my favorite movies, this included. So I'm you know, like, I'm glad we're covering one of them. But the reason we're covering this one first, as you alluded in the opening, is that they just released on Amazon Roadhouse, like it was definitely a reboot starring Jake Gyllenhaal. And I watched it. I don't think you watched it, Gus. Is that right?
No. It'll be. I still haven't watched the new Red Dawn. It's really hard for me to watch.
The new Red Dawn is missable. The new Red Dawn is terrible. Yeah. I really wanted it to be good because I love the original, and why not? You know, why not just have another iteration of one of my favorite movies? But the reality is, it wasn't good. It wasn't Jake Gyllenhaal's fault. It wasn't really any of the actors' faults. The director and the writer, like, tried to do way too much in a movie that didn't need, like, this is a single story. That was a single story, but they just kept going, you know, and then this. And I kept saying that to Mrs. Cousin Bailey when we were watching it. I was like, why are they introducing another character? They just kept introducing character after character in that movie. And that's, you know, that's a huge problem for me, you know, like, especially if they don't go anywhere. But I mean, just quickly, because, you know, why not? Like we said, Patrick Swayze, Kelly Lynch, Sam Elliott, Ben Gazzara plays Wesley. Kevin Tai plays the owner of the Double Deuce, Frank Tillman. And then there's Red West, Sunshine Parker, a couple of those guys who play like the business owners. Jeff Healey, the blind guitarist and singer. Marshall Teague plays the psychopath Jimmy Reno. Carrie Ann's played by Kathleen Willoy. Terry Funk plays that mean guy that gets fired early on. You know, I mean, there's a little cameo by Keith David. I think this was an early role for him.
It was an early role. Yeah.
Well, he played a big role in They Live. So he was around, but I guess they cut out a lot of his scenes.
Okay.
The original cut of this movie was like 3 hours long, three plus hours long. And then they had to tighten it up, obviously. So they had to cut out a lot of probably good scenes, but, you know, whatever. I mean, this is, in the long run, it's a movie about a bartender. I sound like the president. Anyways, mid-thought, I'll just stop and say whatever.
Okay.
But we are missing...
Pace yourself.
We are missing... pace yourself, that's funny. We are missing one person. We talked about her in the green room. One cast member.
Oh, yeah. That would be the lovely Julie Michaels.
Right? The lovely. Are we allowed to say she's lovely?
Because she's lovely now.
There's a concern about her age in this movie.
Yes.
She looks 30.
Looks 30. Yeah.
But
Cuzzo dropped this on me in the green room, asked me how old I thought she was in the movie. I'm like, got to be 30, 31, 32. I don't know. Like, that's how old I thought she was. And... What year was this filmed? Yeah, give us a breakdown of when everything was filmed.
Now listen, I am no mathematics major. Okay. Ask anybody.
Yeah.
But however, the movie was filmed in 1988. And she was born, according to IMDb, in 1970.
Okay.
So that would make her 18. I don't really want to get into too many of these logistics because, I mean, is my math right? I mean, this is what we're talking about, right?
Well, it depends on what month she was born in and what months they filmed.
Well, that's the concern we have, friend.
Okay.
Because
all right,
the movie was filmed in the spring of 88. And according to IMDb, her birthday is not until July of 1970. So theoretically, she could have been 17 while filming her role. There's no way she's 17. She looks 30. So. I think there has to be a mistake.
I don't know. We've gone to some websites.
Legitimate websites. The way you said that sounded.
Yeah. Legitimate.
Mr. Flesh or whatever.
Yeah. And I don't need that because I just saw the movie. So, yeah. So she's Apparently, she was 17 when this was filmed. Now, she was 18 when it was released. Does that make it okay?
Going on 19.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I mean,
I mean,
I don't really know what the rules are about showing nudité of a. I mean, no, I'm pretty sure I know what the rules are. We're not Wander Franco.
And here's something I want to bring up. I don't want to get too far down this rabbit hole. Sound like a creeper, but.
No, let's do it. Oh, wait.
I always thought, and I don't know, maybe I'm completely wrong here. I thought she had enhancements.
It looked like it.
But she was 17. Did her parents sign off on that? Did she just go rogue?
There was always a rumor.
High school?
There was always a rumor that some girl in high school had that done and her parents signed off on it. So,
yeah.
I guess.
I've heard of reductions because of health reasons at that age, but yeah, I've but never heard of
slapping God in the face for giving you a wonderful gift.
Yeah.
That's from a movie. Believe it or not, this is a movie podcast. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so just
I don't know.
There's a delta there. There's a big delta. So.
And she's also in Point Break.
She's also in Point Break. Yeah, she is. Yep, she's one of the crazy psycho ladies. With the Anthony, Cassidy, the Red Hot Chili Peppers,
Anthony Kiedis.
Yeah.
And yep. That one guy played Bunker Weiss or Weiss.
Yeah. Yeah, he was from
neo-Nazi, if you can believe it.
Yeah.
Can't.
No. Nah.
But yeah, so well that's another Point Break reference, but you know.
Yeah, so we're definitely gonna do Point Break. We'll do Point Break in a
yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So Gus, let me just real quick before we get into the movie. Last week I owned up on a couple mistakes. But one of our loyal listeners pointed out that you made an error or two last time. So
let's call him out. Let's call him out. It was fucking Larry. He did Spies Like Us with us. It was fucking Larry. Thanks, Larry.
No, I don't think we should discourage people from anonymously reporting errors that we may or may not have made. So let's just call him. I think, hold on. Let's call him L. Borkusdorf. No, that's too obvious. We'll call him Larry B.
Okay.
So Larry B. Emailed us in and said, Gus made a couple mistakes. Would you like to own up on those mistakes today?
I don't make mistakes.
Okay.
It was perfect. It was tremendous.
I see.
It was outstanding.
Are you
Everybody
running for president?
In the world already listened. So why don't you go ahead and tell me what my mistakes were?
Well, I mean, you don't make mistakes, but we want to make sure that everyone knows for, you know, the millions of listeners that we had that it was Rosanna Arquette, not Patricia Arquette.
I believe they're twins. Easy mix up there.
I doubt they're twins, but okay. And then Robert Rodriguez directed From Dusk Till Dawn, not Quentin Tarantino. But as we all agree, they're basically the same person.
Back then, they were basically the same person. Tarantino wrote it. My bad.
No, I mean, it's no bad. There's no bad. There's no bad.
My bad.
We just wanted to make sure we just wanted to be, you know, kind of earn the respect of our listening audience. Keep those downloads coming.
We love it. Keep them coming. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
That's all I had.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay. Let's go over your mistakes from last week.
Do I have mistakes from last week?
I don't know. I didn't fact check it.
Every time I listen, I make a mistake. I go, ugh! And then I just keep listening sometimes. Or I try to correct them.
So I have a couple of questions
Let's hear them, man.
Jotted down when I first started watching the movie, and then eventually it faded away. So, because like I was just so into the movie. So in the first bar that we see Dalton in,
yes,
there's obviously a band. Is that do we know who that band is? Are they famous? Like the Jeff Healey band?
Do you know? Oh wait, no, this is before the Jeff Healey band in the first bar.
Yeah, the first bar.
This is not Jeff Healey. Yes, this is
no. I know it. Not. I'm saying, are they famous? Like, because
like Jeff Healey,
he was famous in the 80s and 90s. So.
They are. I don't know if they're famous, but they are a real band. Like that was legit. It was a guy named Tito Larriva, and he was actually in a few Robert Rodriguez movies. Speaking of our Rodriguez,
okay,
he played He played the bartender next to Cheech Marin in Desperado, in that bar that Bucho owned.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was also in From Dusk Till Dawn. Oh, and he was in Once Upon a Time in Mexico, and then Grindhouse movies and Machete.
Okay.
And I don't know if he played like a musician in all of these. Obviously not in Desperado, but I think he was a musician in From Dusk Till Dawn, mm-hmm. and in this, because I was watching it, you know, I was trying to be real critical the first time I watched this time I watched it, and I was like, I know that guy, I looked it up, you know, and I really love that song, and you know, he's very talented, and it's cool that, you know, he got a start here. He was in I said his name was Tito Lariva. He was in a band. The next band was called Tito and the Tarantula. What a cool freaking name.
All right.
I don't know if it was this band, but that's a band he ended up in. So that's pretty cool.
So
yeah.
No. So next question.
Let's hear it.
Were these types of clubs a thing back then? Because it's a little bit before our time of going out. You know, it missed us by probably 10 years, 5 years.
Yeah. Earlier. 10 or so years.
Yeah. Like, was this a thing? These types
that
of
clubs? That was a huge club.
It was.
Right?
Massive.
I mean, they were having a full-on band and like there, and then you know, there's pool, there's guys playing pool, like, and not everybody gave a shit. It's, you know what it kind of reminds me of, and not only in the size and what's going on at any given time, but like Ferg's is like that now. Like they are huge in the back, and they've got a stage in St. Petersburg, and then you know, they've obviously got the normal inside, and you know, they've got an upstairs, they've got a downstairs. Like actually, I always kind of joke that Ferg's is kind of like a roadhouse to me, you know. Kind of like the way the Floribama is, and you know, the border of Florida and Alabama, it's like kind of put together, you know, added on at different times, and everything looks kind of different. And I always kind of thought it had that kind of aspect. But that first bar is not dissimilar from what Ferg's is kind of like now. Just, you know, five different bars, an outdoor an event space for, you know, bands and so forth, and other, you know, crazy things going on. So but I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, I've never paid attention to how big that place was. I mean, they were having a full-on concert with crowds just loving life. And then there's playing pool in the next, you know, in the next part of it. And then something else here and something else there. You know, and then I guess that was New York, right?
I don't know where it was.
Because he had New York tags and he went to NYU.
But he went to, yeah, but he, when he was with
Wade.
Yeah, with Wade, like they talk about New Mexico. They talk about Memphis. Memphis is a big part of the story.
Memphis is a part of the story.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's traveled around. So
it could have been anywhere. Yeah, that's true.
Really sure.
No, and that doesn't matter, obviously. But he, I don't know. This is silly because I've only been to Miami Beach one time, but like we, for my bachelor party, I mean, there was like that hotel, right? You know, like, I guess the connected, the hotel we were staying at, and then there was another hotel right next to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was this the biggest freaking outdoor party I've ever seen in my life, going until 4 o'clock in the morning. Cause I'm kind of a, you know, I only went out in big cities like a couple times. And I'm not talking about DC, cause DC, everything closed at like 2 or so, you know, I'm talking like the places that stayed up like until the sun came up, like that place. Right on South Beach had that vibe, you know, like just huge in one section and then, you know, another area and another area. So, but I couldn't really get a vibe of where it was from, where they were, but I just thought it was funny. I mean, there were a tremendous amount of yuppies in the bar.
Yeah.
You know, like suit wearing yuppies. And there was a guy who wanted to fight Dalton.
Oh yeah.
What did he say? Like, I've always wanted to.
Yeah. I have it written down.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I thought I had it written down.
Wow.
Oh, here we go. I do. I've always wanted to try you. I think I can take you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice writing there.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, the writing wasn't great in this movie, but there's some good lines. There's some good lines. So two more questions.
Let's hear it.
What is a cooler? I hadn't heard that term when I first saw the movie, and I haven't heard it since.
So,
and I had friends and family in the business of bouncing.
I don't know if it's a industry term or if it was made up for this movie, but I presume, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm sure you know what it is from this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like a cooler, I guess, is the head bouncer, right?
I guess, yeah.
So they're just hired to like kind of maintain the peace while busting ass when necessary.
Yeah.
But why? What makes it different than just a head bouncer?
Right.
Because no, I guess
I'm
he's
not
gonna
a bouncer,
be in charge.
I'm the cooler. Yeah.
Right. Is he going to be in? I mean, because I mean, he has other responsibilities. Like, you know, he's responsible for like the bar because he fires the waitress. He fires a bartender. So he takes on the responsibility of the management of the bar and of the patrons, let's say. I mean, he's kind of like a floor manager who can bust ass. Whereas the owner, you know, Tillman is just the owner.
Right.
Right. I mean, that I mean, I that's, I mean, I don't think we're breaking any news here, but that's kind of what I understood it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I think it is. I was just more like, is this a real term or not?
Right. Right. I don't know.
Yeah. So last question. Yeah. I'm going to give the line the guy says, and then I'll go back to the question. What do I look like? A valet? So the old black dude that's sitting down by the garage, the storage area where Dalton is keeping his car, which also, Reggie Hammond, that's where it's the same garage that he kept his car in 48 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So same set, but he looked familiar to me. That dude looked familiar to me.
Yeah, me too.
Like I want to say he was like a famous,
blues
musician?
Singer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I so too, magician, but I don't know if you say magician or musician.
I thought I was going to say magician. I thought magician was coming out, you know?
Oh God. Yeah.
Just like Ned.
I don't know, but if he's a, maybe he's a good magician. I don't know. But he said, I always thought he said, what do I look like, a valet?
Yeah. Sorry. Valet. Did I say valet?
No. Because on this rewatch, I think he said valet. But like all my life, I've always thought he said valet. Oh, all right. So I just, you know, oh God, I hate to do live research. But he was in Weird Science. He played one of the guys at that.
Oh yeah, I remember
that blues
him.
Bar that they go to.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of he's credited as the derelict. Thought that was a little rough, man. You know,
wow,
my God, he was also credited as a derelict in Rocky III.
Okay,
I think that's a little rude.
Yeah,
he's just hanging out on a corner. What's his problem? You know, what's their problem?
Who are you, the derelict?
Yeah. They
could have at least put like loiter or something.
Yeah.
Or
his real name is Chino Fats Williams. I mean, anything, okay. Any one of those would have been fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do I look like, a valet?
His voice is fantastic.
Oh my God. I agree.
I don't know if he's my favorite character or if the used car salesman. She's a runner.
Oh, I love that line. So, speaking of, since you opened the door to that scene, so Dalton goes to buy a, you know, piece of a beater because he knows he's going to have to make enemies. And that is a 1965. The car he buys is a 1965 Buick Riviera. And the reason why that is significant to me is, for the second week in a row, I'm going to mention the movie The Last Boy Scout, because in that movie, Bruce Willis is driving a 1971 Buick Riviera. And I'm not a car guy, so please forgive me, but ever since I saw The Last Boy Scout, I've been obsessed with a Buick Riviera. Like, I'm not like to the point where I'm like, you know, all I need is a couple extra grand and I'm going to buy one and fix one up. I'm not going to do that. That's never going to happen. But it is so quintessential 70s, like late 60s, 70s. Just, I mean, I don't know how to describe it other than that. And I mean, like, if you think a Buick from the 70s, think of a Buick Riviera, and those lights, they call them clamshell headlight covers, where they open up from the top and the bottom to reveal the headlights. And did you see the look on the salesman's face when he did that? Like, look at this, huh? Eh? Yeah. Well, that's the only 65 is the only year that was available.
That's
the
correct.
Clamshell headlight cover. So it's like, but he's like, eh? Look what it can do. Just for being like, that's not that great, man. You know, and as I got older, I'm like, that's just another thing that can break, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I feel like I'm like my dad, you know, like I remember when I was like really excited to get power windows in my car, it was like my dad or my granddad was like, just another thing that can break.
Yeah.
You know, the old reliable crank
window. Man.
Yeah.
It ain't failing.
But that's very, just so funny rarely. To me. She's a runner. Oh my God. I love runner. It. I mean, I presume that's a moon, like a whiskey running term, right? Like is that what he means?
I just took it as it works.
It's fast. See, I've always presumed he meant like, you know, like, what are they, like a bootlegger, like, you know, how they used to have like super fast cars and that's how, you know, the races, you know, NASCAR started.
Anyways,
I don't know. That's just a little thing I love about it.
Where does, so this takes place in Jasper?
Yes. Well, it's a fictitious city, I believe, in Missouri or Kansas.
I think Missouri.
Missouri. Okay. But it's close somewhere. But I don't know. I didn't do a whole bunch of research on Jasper, Missouri. Did you do something? I mean, where's it near?
I did a little bit. So it's near Springfield. They bring up Springfield.
Right. Springfield.
Call the FBI in Springfield.
Yeah.
No one's going to take the stand, though.
No.
But it's close to Kansas City.
Kansas City.
And I love Kansas City barbecue.
Kansas City barbecue, you say?
Yes. But what I really love is I put my favorite barbecue sauce, not from Kansas City, on Kansas City barbecue.
No. I mean, Kansas City barbecue is tops, you know, up there.
Yeah.
However,
there's something better.
There is something better. I mean, it all comes down to the sauce. I mean, you can smoke it, you can season it all day long, but it's what sauce you use is kind of like what puts barbecue over the edge. And this portion of the Automatic Rewind is brought to you by Pandemic Sauce Company. Amidst a worldwide pandemic and lockdown with nothing but time on his hands, a friend of the podcast started experimenting in his kitchen to occupy his time. He soon discovered a knack of combining a variety of peppers and fruit juices to create some unique barbecue sauces. After sharing his sauces with family and friends, he has now decided to share them with the rest of the world and the goal to become your new favorite sauce. That is Pandemic Sauce Company, pandemicsaucecompany.com. Enter code Automatic Rewind at checkout for a discount. So when you think Kansas City barbecue, I mean, like, obviously you think Texas, a brisket is one of the first things that comes to mind. But I mean, when you say Kansas City ribs, probably up there.
Yep.
So yes, ribs, Kansas City ribs, no one's going to besmirch them. But I think Pandemic Sauce Company, that's pandemicsaucecompany.com, originates out of Louisiana. And I don't know if anyone's ever been like, man, I can't wait to have some Louisiana barbecue. Well, try this stuff, because I guarantee you're going to add Louisiana to the list of your favorites. Ribs is something I love. I think what I love most about baby back ribs, especially, is it's fairly idiot proof and takes the least amount of time. So you can cook like four racks of ribs and you'll be set for a party in like a matter of 5 hours.
Yeah.
On the smoker five or so hours. But yeah, some of the I would say, you know, the fact that we're talking about this, I'm definitely going to do ribs in the next couple of weeks. So I don't know the availability at this moment, because like I said, there was a drought in northern Louisiana and central Louisiana that's affected a lot of the pepper production. But I think jalapeno apple and mango habanero are always available, and mango habanero is, I've had it on everything I've barbecued or smoked or whatever. And I think that probably would go well, wonderfully with all this. I mean, what do you think with the rack of ribs, right?
No, absolutely. It definitely would. It pretty much like, man, I put that shit on everything. I know that's from a different sauce, but yeah, it's you can put it on ribs. I really like the mango habanero on chicken. So I'll do like a pulled chicken breast.
Wow,
that's,
yeah.
That's delicious on the chicken. Fantastic.
So I have a question, and this is just turning into a barbecue / smoking podcast, but when you smoke a chicken, you smoke breasts like at a time and then pull them? No.
Is that what that one? No. I don't smoke just the breast. I'll smoke a whole chicken.
You'll smoke a whole chicken and then pull it, you say?
Yeah, I'll pull it. I typically do a spatchcock.
Yeah, okay.
Lay it out flat. Yeah. Yep. And I'll smoke it and then typically take half the chicken and pull it.
Okay. And
so
do you
it's just it's just me and Mrs. Gus. So
do you like flavor it with the sauce like and then keep it and put it back in the smoker, or do you just like as you serve it, you add sauce to it?
So I've done both. Go ahead.
Okay. No. Please continue. That's what I'm saying. I have a leading question. It's a leading question.
Yeah, so I've done both. I like it both ways. So typically what I'll do is I don't put it on at the beginning stages, right? So typically what I'll do, I'll put some type of rub. I'd put rub under the skin, do my own rub. And then I will, because I still need to get, I haven't had the rub from Pandemic Sauce.
I know, yet, neither have I. We need to get a hold of that.
Yeah. But I know there's the pepper shortage because he's coming out with them. But so I put my own rub on it. I smoke it. And then probably I'd say like the last 10, 15 minutes, I'll put barbecue on it, barbecue sauce, and then have it like that. Or I will just leave the rub on it, then pull all the chicken and then mix it in with barbecue sauce.
Yeah, totally. So a couple of months ago when the weather was still kind of beautiful and cool here in Florida, Mrs. Cousin Bailey requested that I, because we had my family over, and you know, I was cooking a pork butt and it stalled.
Ugh,
and so we were trying to, I don't know, it just, she was just like, while you're doing it, would you mind doing something for me? And I said sure. So I pulled about half of it away. Like when I pulled it off and it was ready to go, I mean, ready to rest, I took about a third or half of it off and then put it, and then put, it fell apart at that point. It had kind of fallen apart. Like I know you're supposed to let it rest for about an hour. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did with one of them for part of the butt. And then the other part of the butt, I put sauce on it. Just regular barbecue sauce. We were actually out of Pandemic Sauce Company. That's pandemicsaucecompany.com. We were actually out of that at the time. So we used another barbecue sauce that is inferior, but fine in a pinch. Put it on, and I put that back on the smoker for 20 more minutes. And then I pulled that, put it, and then let that rest for the hour as well. And I'll tell you that, I mean, I know like some people don't like their, I mean, some people just want their pulled pork right off the smoker, like, you know, not dry, but without sauce. You know, the smoke rings, the smoky flavor is delicious, but there is something about putting sauce on it, putting it back on the smoker like you did with the spatchcock, and then bringing it out and then pulling it. It was moist, it was delicious, it had that extra flavor. And so actually I got a small butt from Winn-Dixie the other day, and then did it with the whole thing, you know, and you know, put some sauce on it, put it back on the smoker, let it rest, and then pulled it, and it was phenomenal. So I'm not saying that I'm going to do that every time, but it's a good way to do it, especially if you're not adverse. See, my mom, for example, doesn't like her barbecue like wet with sauce. Mm-hmm. She likes it, you know, seasoned great, smoked great, but just she'd rather just eat it right off the bone without, you know, like enjoy the juices, et cetera, et cetera. Some people like the sauce, my wife, for example. So that's, anyways, I mean, that's something I've started doing. And so I just can't wait. I'm running low on Pandemic Sauce Company barbecue sauce. So I need to re-up my order so we can do that again. So anyways, that is Pandemic Sauce Company, pandemicsaucecompany.com. Enter code AUTOMATICREWIND at checkout for a discount.
So yeah, pandemic sauce, man. I love that shit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be like you. I'm gonna think I may barbecue some stuff. We'll see how much I actually eat, but that's a story for another day. Anyhow, you had some thoughts, some trivia?
Yeah, just a couple of things I wanted to bring up before we really get into the plot of the movie. Anyone who's seen this movie, and I hope that's everybody, Swayze and almost everybody did their own stunts. They're not exclusively, like there were a couple of stunts that were just a little too dangerous, but one thing of note, the guy who played Jimmy, that was what was his name? Marshall Teague. He was a martial arts, I don't want to say expert, but he was versed in martial arts along with Patrick Swayze, and so they had a mutual respect for each other. I think they started, their relationship was a little rocky, but then once they realized that they're both like students of martial arts, or you know, at least fighting, and you know, Swayze had like a dance background also, so I mean they were very serious, and I think they had a mutual respect for each other, but they did a lot of their own stunts and they would hit each other, and Swayze ended up injuring his knee in this movie, and or it might have been already injured, or maybe it was re-injured, but it actually, this is something that I was kind of going over the trivia. He ended up, the reason he ended up doing Ghost, and I think you wanted to bring this up, right?
No, go for it.
Okay, well, the reason he did is because he didn't do Tango and Cash. He was offered the role.
That's right.
Yeah, I know that's one of your favorites, Tango and Cash. But he turned down a role in that. And this is the part that got me, because I love Predator 2. I know it's not, that's kind of a hot take. And I mean, like, unpopular by that. I'm not saying at all that it compares to the first Predator, but they're totally separate movies, you know, in the world of Predator, you know, the being, the alien being. And Predator 2 is actually really cool and really interesting. It's based in Los Angeles, and Danny Glover plays Harrigan, the cop, the you know, in this war zone that LA has turned into, LA. Well, Swayze was offered the role of that Danny Glover took, but he had to turn it down because of his damn knee. It just pissed me off so much. I think he would have been awesome in that movie, but I really like Predator 2. And you know, but of course, it, you know, he couldn't do that. That's fine. The other thing I wanted to bring up, and I saw this the other day coincidentally, on Kelly Lynch was it was a clip of Kelly Lynch on some talk show, and they were talking about how Bill Murray is a friend of her husband's, Mitch Glazer, and he's a writer. And I'll explain their connection in a second. Why not? Let's explain it right now. He was a writer for SNL, and he also wrote Scrooged, which we did. So he and Bill Murray were friends. And I guess every time Bill Murray would notice that Roadhouse is on TV, and especially the love scene between Kelly Lynch and Patrick Swayze, he would call their home and be like, he'd like disguise his voice. I'm putting that in quotes. And he'd be like, "Your wife is having sex with Patrick Swayze right now." Like Bill Murray would say that. He'd call up and leave and like say these on the phone. And I just think that's hilarious. I mean, it's kind of one of those things that really endears me to Bill Murray, because I don't know if he's, you know, I try not to put celebrities on pedestals. There's just some of them you can tell are genuine people. And I've seen interviews of Patrick Swayze, and Bill Murray seems like a kind of a everyday kind of guy. So I find these, you know, they're at least people that I feel like I could have a beer with. But those are two like little like semi-trivia moments about this movie. But when I was watching it, I was kind of like, I was trying to watch it critically and trying to watch it like with a professional eye, if you will. And the first thing I thought was, I mean, you know, if you break this movie down, it's basically a Western in the 80s. You have a trouble in a town. You have some rich guy, rich magnate trying to, you know, run some businesses out of town or change a town, or you make a profit. And so they hire a hired gun to protect the people. It's got a Clint Eastwood feel to it. And Patrick Swayze is obviously that lonesome cowboy that comes riding in to save the day. But I mean, speaking of that though, like we meet a couple of characters in the movie, Red and Emmett and the guy who owns the dealership and obviously Tillman, the owner of the Double Deuce. And those guys are like, they're business owners in Jasper, Missouri. And Brad Wesley is the antagonist of the whole movie. He's this like short, older guy who drives this badass 88 Mustang. I love that thing so much. Those convertible Mustangs from the mid to late 80s. I love them. They're, aside from the 60s, they're my favorite iteration. But he is a, like I said, he's like the super wealthy guy who, you know, he brags about bringing JCPenney's into That's Jasper. Correct. But he's shaking everyone down. He's also like a mob guy for protection money.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the audacity of Tillman trying to raise up the Double Deuce and clean it up, he, you know, causes a bunch of trouble there. He sends his goons there to ruin the business. He also destroys the dealership, blows up Red's whatever auto mechanic shop or whatever, not mechanic, like it's like an auto zone. I don't know how to describe it. I can't figure out, like, he's in all, I mean, he makes it clear to Dalton that he wants to bring, you know, make Jasper a big time town, bring in tourists, right, bring in JCPenney's, this, that, and the other. But why is he destroying those legitimate businesses if that's his end game? Like, I feel like the writing kind of, I'm, that's my personal, unless it's explained and I missed it. I feel like I may have missed it in like the 85 times I've watched this movie. Do you have a theory on that? Like,
yeah,
you do. Okay.
You know, it's Police Academy 5, City Under Siege.
This
guy, he's trying to bring down the value of the property so he can buy it, and then he can buy the property, then build it up, sell it to all these large corporations, and make even more money off of it.
God, no, it's actually a brilliant plan. City Under Siege. I mean, what came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, who? I guess City Under Siege is probably after this. Police Academy 5, baby.
That's right.
Like, oh, and that movie has a monster truck in it too.
Does it? Oh, it does. Yes, yeah. It does. Yes.
Yeah. 100%. Wow.
Yeah, the goons in that movie had a monster truck, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then, yeah. And then Tackleberry drives one. He said he drove one on his honeymoon.
That's right. That's right.
But we're not doing Police Academy 5, even though I do love it. It's not the best, but it's good. Police Academy 6. I'm sorry. Police Academy 6 is City Under Siege.
That's
Police
correct.
Police Academy 5 is my favorite.
It's Miami Beach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Assignment Miami Beach, baby.
Assignment Miami Beach. That's right. That's
actually, I do love that one. Yes. Yes. That's a great one.
It's good. It's good.
Wayne Gretzky's wife's in it.
I want. Yeah, I know.
Bridget something.
Moynihan.
No. What's yours?
No. Mine would probably be, I would say, 3.
Oh yeah.
Or 4.
Nah, I hated 4.
Did you? Sharon Stone?
Citizens on Patrol.
Citizens on Patrol. Wow. Citizens on Patrol. I mean, number 1's great too.
COP. Cop. You know, so just like, I mean, I don't know if I hate to tease one that we may do in the future, but Beverly Hills Cop. I saw Beverly Hills Cop 2 first.
Yeah.
And just like that, I saw Police Academy 2 first. Like, I didn't even see Police Academy 1 until like years later.
Years later, yeah.
So like, I was introduced to these characters as they were got their first assignment. You know, like, now they were their first collective assignment, because they graduated in the first one, and then, you know, Mahoney did this and so and so did that and blah blah blah, and then they all like kind of came back to the precinct. They all got like hired at that precinct to save, you know, whatever, Lassard's brother's job.
Brother, yeah. Yep.
The guy from Head of the Class. But yep. And WKRP in Cincinnati. But Police Academy 3 I liked a lot. That was a great one. Mauser was the bad guy.
Yeah, he was in 2 as well.
In 2? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Mauser was his own. He had started his own police academy.
That's
in
correct.
3.
Yeah.
4 I didn't care for. 5 loved because it was in Florida. And then 6, of course, City Under Siege.
Did you see Mission to Moscow?
I did not.
I have not either.
No. And then there was a TV show or cartoon or something, but obviously, but this isn't a Police Academy podcast.
No,
it's a movie podcast. But so it is basically the same plot as Police Academy 6, City Under Siege.
Gus's heir.
Well, I mean, I think I was saying 5 as well, but we fixed it on air. So now we have to wait for our very diligent listeners to correct us. But so that's a great call. So obviously, you know, and basically what we have here is Patrick Swayze is a grit smoking, most in shape person probably on earth. He sleeps naked. They've got the blind guitarist and singer Jeff Healey, who's a real performer.
Yeah.
And he's damn good. Yeah, yeah, damn good. He died, though, I believe.
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, I think he died.
From blindness.
Right, well, probably not blindness. But
walking to the middle of the road. Sorry.
Oh,
sorry,
boy. Sorry. Yikes, golly. Well, there goes our... But I just like some of my notes here, because like I was taking like minute-by-minute notes for a few minutes, and I just loved this version of Cousin Bailey. It was like, you know, the three rules, and then there's... Huck Me Eyes Girl, which is Denise, who now I feel bad saying that since she was 18.
17.
And then that one, well, speaking of which, the one guy, that one bouncer was banging the high school girls in the storeroom.
Yeah. You're my Saturday night.
Yeah. You could be my Saturday night. That dirty guy is stealing money from the till. There's a naked pool party at Wesley's. And then, like I said, Carrie Ann wakes him up. He sleeps naked. So then we learn about the shakedown, and then he gets sliced one night, and he goes to the hospital and he meets Kelly Lynch, the doctor. And I thought she freaking nailed this role. She's a very, very good actress. I'm not like, I don't, her, like her portfolio is not like right on my, you know, my list. She's been in some stuff I haven't seen. She was in Virtuosity. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
Russell Crowe and Denzel.
Denzel.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked it. It was entertaining. It was back when.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, it was just back when virtual reality was way like scarier than. I mean, it's scary now, but I guess in a way they predicted it could be that way. But it had a lot of like Lawnmower Man effects. Very digital and, you know, like 80, like mid 90s computer.
Yeah.
Not good effects that definitely won't hold up, but it was an interesting movie.
Interesting point about her. She turned down the role. She turned down Sharon Stone's role in,
Basic Instinct.
Basic Instinct.
Really?
Yes.
My goodness.
Yeah.
So, question.
Okay.
All right. Are you a fan of Basic Instinct?
I've really only seen one part.
Okay. It's actually a pretty good movie.
No, I'm sure it is. Michael
and there's another, like... and that same Mustang, not the same Mustang, but that same model is in that movie. Maybe that's why I've got such a, maybe it gives me funny, like below the belt feelings or something because it's in Basic Instinct. But Michael Douglas plays a badass like cop that's, you know, he's like a friend, like fringe from like just losing it, you know. And Sharon Stone, anyways, obviously has like a number of sexual scenes in that movie. I think Paul Verhoeven directed it. Is that right?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. But I just wonder if Kelly would have been as susceptible to, because, you know, Sharon, like, I think she's embarrassed by some of the scenes, because one of them, totally, you can see her vagina.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if she regrets that, but she definitely was embarrassed when it happened. And so I wonder if like a different actress would have let that happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but I would keep, I like, this has nothing to do with looks or the scenes or whatever.
No, no,
just
whatever.
On pure acting ability, I prefer Sharon Stone.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I really like Sharon Stone. So
she was incredible in that movie. And in fact, the only reason I don't like her in Casino is because she plays it so well.
Oh man. Her character is
horrible person.
Yeah. Her character is something else, but she
absolutely nails that role.
Of course. Absolutely. Nails it. Yes. And I think, I mean, like, it's like other movies where I watch a movie and I hate a guy so much or I hate a girl so much. I'm sitting there, I mean, like, I've got to like step back for a second and be like, they're just doing the greatest, a phenomenal acting job. And that's what's going on in basic or in a Casino.
Yeah.
And, but anyways, I mean, Kelly Lynch, I mean, like, cause I was rewatching that and it's funny, like she actually spent time in a hospital, like kind of shadowing doctors, like maybe an ER to get the feel for this. She learned how to sew stitches. Of course, then they gave her the staple,
the staple gun.
So yeah. She was like, fuck. But, she seemed really professional. And I mean, I don't know, just I bought that she was a doctor. Now I do get a little annoyed with her behavior later on in the movie. Because I guess she was involved in with Wesley.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a relationship. And so that's kind of a reason Wesley takes exception, like murderous exception to Dalton as well. Like not only is he defending the guys that he wants to put out of business, but now he's, you know, that's mine kind of behavior, you know? And so, and also Denise was giving him the fuck me eyes, you know, yeah. This guy, you know, you can't compete with that. But, but, you know, like later on, like she, you know, like remember when it's like, so we're introduced to like a maniac, Jimmy, ex-con, ex-felon who was in prison. And he has one of the like, I'm trying to decide if it's like one of the toughest lines I've ever heard or one of like the fucking weirdest lines I've ever heard. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody what it is? I know it's your favorite line of the movie.
It's not my favorite line. Do I mention it? I mention it a little too often, I think, probably. But Jimmy, the guy who shows up, and he's got like, I think he's got Native American, like something about him. He says to Dalton that I used to fuck guys like you in prison. Yes. Obviously in prison, I don't really understand the culture in prison, and that's just me, but like we had a little dog one time and it was a girl dog, but she used to hump our cat in a sign of dominance.
Yes.
And so I presume banging a dude in prison isn't necessarily homosexual per se, according to the lore. But it's a sign of dominance. Now, I'm a heterosexual male, so I don't understand how you could even get it up if you're not gay to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't understand it. And this is not me judging anyone except obviously the rapists in prison. I judge them. Unless, you know, I go to prison, then I don't judge them. But so I just don't understand that line. It doesn't ring. I mean, it's frightening.
Yeah.
As someone who doesn't plan on ever going to prison or would definitely die day one, me. Don't you think?
Yeah, probably.
I don't think I'd make it very far in prison.
I don't think you would either.
I mean, I'm not weak, but I don't think I have the. How long do you think you'd last? I know you were in the military, but come on. A couple days?
Before getting killed?
You got a baby face. You get your ass beat.
Yeah, probably. It's all right.
You'd have to join up with a gang, I guess.
I would.
I wonder which gang. Anyway, let's not talk about that on air. Anyways, so he says he used to fuck guys in prison. That line was actually your boy Joel Silver's idea.
Okay.
I find that weird. Like, who comes up with that shit?
I don't know. Like I think it's a good line. Like, I think it's definitely a dominant line. Like,
right.
You know, like I used like one, I was in prison, and two, I kind of ran the prison. So, you know, I'm a badass. So,
yeah, but okay. I'll take it.
That's where I'm going.
So there we go though. He also, Jimmy, Marshall Teague, he kind of had a Timothy Oliphant look about him. Do you see that?
Do you know a little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Kind of the deep set eyes a little bit, you know, and very, you know, kind of very tough looking.
I don't know. Mrs. Gus, not impressed with Jimmy. Mrs. Gus, very impressed by Timothy Oliphant.
Okay, so I haven't posed this to Mrs. Cuz because she loves Timothy Oliphant. Like, has professed such, you know.
Yeah.
So good for her. You know, I mean, good for everybody. I like him too. Don't get me wrong. He's wonderful. But anyways, you know, the movie is kind of, it's somewhat formulaic, but they do introduce another great, great character, Sam Elliott's character, Wade Garrett, who's an aging bouncer, cooler. And, you know, he's referenced early on, and then, you know, it's crazy. Like, you get a sense that Dalton, that's Patrick Swayze's character, is kind of getting in, realizes he's a little in over his head. Yeah. And he actually calls Wade Garrett, doesn't ask for his help, just lets him know. And then I think he shows up, I think, on a, does he call him again, or does he just show up? I think he calls him again, but I can't remember the exact, but the point is Garrett shows up to kind of get his back. And, you know, Sam Elliott is a total badass. Yeah. I mean, he's got the greatest hair, cinematic hair and mustache.
Great voice.
Great voice. I mean, it's just, he's got the whole package, so to speak. But he's a total badass. And, you know, the way he flirts even with Doc, I thought was cool as shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Clearly doesn't wear underwear.
Nope.
Sorry, we had to figure that out. But, you know, like, they're boys. And then, you know, Wade Garrett gets killed. That's probably my least favorite situation in this entire movie.
Yeah, I would agree.
I didn't think that was necessary. I mean, like, in another movie, I get it. It's like extra motivation for our hero. Right. But, like, it's one of those moments in the movie where, like, how do you, like, I've seen movies before where, like, something horrible happens, and then, like, not a day later, the movie's over, the good guys win, but they're, like, laughing, going, huh, oh, man, next time, you know, or what a time that was. I'm like, your best friend is dead, and he's not even fucking cold yet, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And that's something I just can't get over in this movie. They defeat Wesley. I mean, he's a, I don't know, like, there's a, it kind of makes a suggestion, like, he's the big bad that Dalton, now Dalton is exhausted. He's, like, been up all night. His best friend's dead. He's had to battle through, like, 10 guys. And then he fights Wesley, who's got a spear. And I think he gets shot, too, Dalton. It's like,
yep.
There's, like, a, it's just kind of a, and I don't know. Like, I feel like, you know, one-on-one, this wouldn't even last a second. But Dalton, there's a story early on where he rips somebody's throat out. And he does that to Jimmy. I mean, in the end moment, making Doc think he's a total psycho.
Right.
Jimmy had a gun. Like, I don't know. It's just.
Yeah. And there's foreshadowing. Frustrating.
Yeah.
There's foreshadowing of that, because Wade, when they're having the conversation, Doc goes off to the bathroom and then they're in the diner and they talk about this. And Wade is basically like, you have two choices when someone puts a gun in your face.
Right.
Die or you kill the motherfucker.
Right.
And so apparently Dalton had done that, and they even refer to this earlier. One of the bouncers is like, yeah, he ripped some guy's throat out or whatever, like back in the day. So alluding to that this woman he was involved with back in the day was married. She didn't tell him, and guy pulled a gun on her, ripped his throat out. And then that's how he offs Jimmy, is Jimmy pulls a gun on him.
Yep.
And he kills the motherfucker.
Is that what happened in Memphis, or was that a different thing?
Yeah. No, that's Memphis.
Yep. That's the Memphis story. Yeah. So, but I don't know. It's just a little too convenient that Doc misses the gun. You know, like, I don't know. It just
even seemed though, like, the gun went off.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah. I mean, it's like, Jesus Christ, lady. What do you want me to do? You'd rather me get shot than be the coolest motherfucker on earth?
Yeah.
Ripping someone's throat out?
Yeah.
So, anyways, you know, and then they have, like, the final fight scene in Wesley's house. And that's cool. And, you know, all the guys show up to blow him away with shotguns.
Yeah.
And that's great. And the cops and FBI show up. I mean, it's basically a Western. You know, and frankly, the amount of martial arts, I wonder if, like, it's actually farther back than that. It's like more of like a Kung Fu or like a Japanese, you know, like storyline. Because a lot of Westerns had that same, you know, like stole their, you know, not stole, but, you know, borrowed the same story from, like, you know, those, you know, Japanese movies, like samurai movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, someone comes to town to clean up a town kind of thing, and there's a, you know, big bad. So I don't know, it's just neat. enjoyed it quite well. I don't love, like I said, like seeing Sam Elliott die, not a fan.
No, not at all.
We don't see him get killed. We find out he's dead.
Yeah, he thinks stabbed. He's sleeping on the bar. Yeah,
right.
And he
right.
rolls him over, and
it was Tails.
It was Tails.
Yeah.
Tails again.
Tails again.
Yeah, so there's a couple things. 2 points, really, I think I want to make. I don't know if there's any more than that that are in my head or written down. So did you know that Red was a draft dodger? And does that change your opinion of him?
In real life or in the...
In the movie.
What does he say again?
So when Red's automotive parts place blows up, is on fire.
Yeah.
Wesley's in the bar and he starts talking shit about Red. And one of the lines is, he said something to the effect of, why should we help him? Why should we help that draft dodger out or something? Because Wesley said he fought in Korea.
Yeah.
He came
sure
back
did.
From Korea. And apparently he views Red as a draft dodger.
Oh, man.
So what do you think about, did Red deserve it if he is a draft dodger?
I don't know if anyone deserves that kind of punishment for being a draft dodger. Maybe he's a conscientious objector, you know, he might be a pacifist, but
yeah, until he killed Wesley.
He wasn't my favorite of the...
Who's your
Red
favorite?
Red was not my favorite of the town folk.
Yeah, but who was your favorite of the town folk?
I liked Emmett the best.
Emmett, dude. Emmett's the best. Got to keep in good graces with the Presbyterians, brother.
With the Presbyterians.
That's right.
See, like, it's just something I don't know. He's like, he came here and he, you know, he don't ever marry an ugly woman. Takes all the energy out of you. You know, I don't know. Just,
yeah.
And it wasn't that was Doc's uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. They're just, he seemed nice. Don't get me wrong. Like, he seems like a sweet guy, Red.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who are the other ones? Okay. So there was the used car salesman.
Well, not used car. He was a new car. He was the Ford salesman.
There's the Ford. Is that, but where did, Swayze bought the Buick from the used car guy, right?
Yeah. But he wasn't part of that clique.
He wasn't part of the clique. Okay. So it was the whatever, the dealership guy, Red, Emmett, and then Tillman. Those four fellas.
Yeah. There were some other stragglers
in
Red's house after, but there was nothing. Yeah.
I mean, I like Tillman. Tillman's great, though, you know.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. Putting a shitload of money into the double deuce. Jasper, Missouri,
man. That's where it's at.
Yeah. That's definitely like some guy struck it rich in the gold, you know, whatever, and brought it back to Deadwood. You know, I'm just thinking, you know, to try and open up a bar.
Yeah.
I'm trying to put it in context of, you know, that we all are on board with.
So but there's a,
Emmett,
there's
though.
Yeah. Yeah, Emmett's by far my favorite.
Yeah.
So there's at in the final scene where they, you know, they're at Wesley's house. Brad Wesley. You know who supplies this liquor? Brad Wesley.
Wesley.
So Terry Funk, he's dead or knocked out. I'm assuming he's dead, but you see him laying on the ground. And I guess there's before too, when Dalton's car comes through the shrubs, but you know, you see Terry Funk, you see a full body shot, but I noticed it when he was on the ground and I need to go back and look at it again. I think in those scenes, he's wearing his wrestling boots.
Is he really?
Yes. I'm pretty sure he's wearing his wrestling boots. It's like he was wearing normal boots the whole time. And then he got his wrestling boots in at the end. So
he died last year, you know.
Did he?
Yeah, he just died last August.
How old was he?
79.
Yeah, because when I was a kid, I felt like he was fucking old.
Yeah,
I guess he wasn't that old, but
you're a dead man.
Oh, he's a big guy.
Yeah, Tinker, the big, huge, fat guy.
He made it.
Yeah, I don't really love that because he was always a bad guy. He
always.
Wasn't.
He was in a lot of scenes. He caused a lot of problems. Polar bear fell on me.
Terrible. Yeah, I know. He's a sweet fat guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
You know Emmett's real name is Sunshine Parker?
Yes.
I love that name.
I knew that. I didn't have to look it up. I knew that.
You knew it?
Yeah.
What was he in some other stuff that we've seen?
I think
Tremors.
I
my
think he
God.
Played the same character in every movie.
Well, with that beard, you're kind of get typecast.
Yeah.
You're not going to shave that beard.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, what's your overall thought of the movie? Like, I mean, because we try to watch these critically. I mean, has your opinion changed at all since you watched this movie?
No, my opinion hasn't changed. I still love the movie.
Same.
I absolutely love it. I can't watch it unedited, though.
No.
Can't do that.
I've watched it unedited so many times that, like, this last time, you know, like, obviously I've purchased it now. I'm like, man, there's a lot of good boobs in this. Not a lot, but more than, you know.
Yeah, 17-year-old boobs. It's great.
Well, hey, I am not for that. I'm not Wander Franco.
Okay. No, but I love the movie. You know, I would say if it's on, but it's not on, right? Like we don't get HBO. We have HBO Max, but you have to Max, whatever
you
it's called.
You have to proactively
search it out, you know.
Yeah, might as well
do that. I don't own it. And I didn't. Oh. I just rented it this time, which is weird, even though I love the movie.
Yeah.
But I do find myself, and I think just because I've seen it so many times, like the bloopers or the errors in the film, they become more pronounced to me. And I just find it funny. I'm like,
sure.
Yeah. You know,
like a missed punch or something like that.
A missed punch or like the blood is on the one guy's face before he's.
Right.
On Wesley's nephew's face before Patrick Swayze actually punches him. And then
right.
when Patrick Swayze points out there's a knife in the guy's boot, this isn't an error, but they highlight the blade that's on his boot. Yeah. Like it does like a little, yeah.
It's almost like, the, yeah. Where's the sound effect that goes ching when you see the light hit it? Yeah, I know what you mean.
But no, I love this movie.
Let me tell you, there's one scene that actually there's one concept. I mean, like, It's hard to say this because I've never been dominated by a rich guy with a tremendous amount of body muscle behind him. But like when those guys come up to him and he's like, remember, like they blow it. They try to get, you know, Dirty's job back.
Mm-hmm.
And they come back and he's like, this is my daughter. This is my sister's son. What am I going to do? We got to get this guy a job, you know, something like that. And he says, he's like, now somebody here owes me an apology, talking about the three guys. And then he just like punches them.
Yeah.
You know, with such a weak looking, you know, old guy punch.
Yeah.
And he puts them down because, of course, they're not going to fight back. You know, Brad Wesley, you don't fight him back. But then he goes, I can't remember exactly the line, but he's basically like antagonizing them and going, no, everything's okay. Everything's okay. And then he punches him and he goes, I don't like you because you're a bleeder. I'm just like,
right,
like it just seems like it was written by, you know, like a high schooler.
Yeah,
some of the stuff. But that's one of those things where I don't care. But I was watching it going, let's move on with the movie, you know,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But no, man. So
I'm not gonna sit here and bash this movie though. That's
no,
not
absolutely not. Yeah. No, no.
This isn't Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No, for all of its flaws, it's a fantastic movie.
I agree.
Like, I think I started smoking because of Patrick Swayze in this movie. He looks so cool fucking smoking.
He looks awesome smoking. And pulling out the freaking cowboy killers like first thing in the morning.
Oh man, dude. I'm so envious.
I know.
I don't smoke anymore. I stopped 20 some years ago.
Yeah.
But goddamn, like,
oh, I miss it, man.
I still miss it. I still miss it.
And dude.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just
every
like,
time
yeah.
I'm walking by someone who's smoking, I don't care their social status. I'm like, hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, exactly.
Homeless guy, businessman. I'm like, right on, brother. You keep the fight because now if someone's lights up, they get looked at funny.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I hate to say it. I do, too. When I see someone light up a cigarette, I'm like, really?
I don't. With Mrs. Gus.
No, I don't chastise them, but I'm like, I'm shocked to see it these days.
Okay, yeah. All right.
How shocked. Rare it is. How rare
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I'm the same way, but Mrs. Gus will definitely give someone a look.
Well, she never smoked, right?
No. She's why I quit. She said it was the cigarettes or her.
Oh, shitballs. All right. Well,
yeah.
Mrs. Cousin Bailey, am I spilling other people's secrets here? Yeah, I mean, she smoked.
Yeah.
She smoked, Parliament Lights.
Oh, P-Funks.
The recessed filter.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Marketing, I guess, but
yeah, why not?
Yeah. No, I loved it. You know, I don't know if it was this movie or what, but in college I started smoking Marlboro mediums because they had the red pack.
Yeah.
And so like I'd go to a party and pull them out and someone would see the red and be like, oh, I don't want one of those.
Yeah.
Thinking it was a Marlboro Cowboy Killer. And yeah. I'm like, oh, all right, more for me, you know, because you go to a party, you'd have to account for at least 5 cigarettes being gone.
Oh, at least
20% of your pack is gone as soon as you walk in the door.
Especially if I'm there with you, I'm going to be bumming from you all night.
Right. But if you have the red carton, right, even though it was not the heavies, people would be like, ugh. I remember, you know what I used to smoke? Camel Special Lights. Do you remember those?
I remember it because the only time Gold I smoked box. Them is when I was hanging out with you.
With me? This gold box. Just so crazy, man. I don't know. God.
I probably owe you a carton, so I'll buy you one.
Please no. Please don't. Okay. Do you remember those ones I brought back from Greece?
I do.
Ducados or something?
Yeah.
I would find those under my bed for like years, like 2 years after, and still smoke them. Stale as shit. Just
yeah.
It was like, okay, and this is the last thing I'm gonna say about cigarettes unless you want to keep talking about it, because I could talk all night. I used to buy soft packs after a while.
Yeah.
You remember soft packs?
Yeah, of course.
And do you remember what was so incredible about the soft pack? There was almost always one in there. Like, you know, you'd smush them together. You know, after a while, the pack would get smushed, and I feel like you just put, you know, blow into it, and there would be one in there. Like every once in a while, you'd get lucky, and there would be one sitting back there. And the reason I smoked those, thank you, Disney, was Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the guy who played Max Headroom? I can't remember his name, but like he kept them in his hat.
Yeah.
And they were smushed down. He kept them in his hat. So I used to do that sometimes.
Yeah.
College.
Soft packs. I liked them because I thought it looked cool when you had to get one out.
Had to shake it. Yes.
And it would pop out.
It would pop two out, you know, one high and one low.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
God, what a good old day.
Smoking was so cool. God.
It was so cool.
Jesus. Why does it have to be so bad for you?
If it wasn't so bad for you.
Oh. Man, I need to invent right now.
I know, me too. I'd go outside and smoke one right now if I had one.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Anyways, thank you, Patrick Swayze.
Yes.
He died of cancer, but unrelated, I believe. Wasn't it pancreatic?
Pancreatic. Yeah.
I don't think you get that from smoking grits.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe you do.
Yeah.
God rest his soul. There'll never be another like him. So, yeah, I mean, like, and comparing the new one, it's silly because, like, I really thought that he was going to be like a son. It was just a reboot.
Yeah.
It wasn't like there's no connection to the other one. It was in the Florida Keys, which I like movies that are based in Florida, like automatically. I'll give them a shot, you know, because I live here and I love this state. But like I said, there was just it was way too complicated. This movie was not complicated. You know,
no.
It was like, I mean, it's kind of like I got confused. Like I said, like, I mean, even in the green room, we were talking about how it was Police Academy 6, City Under Siege plot. But I'm still on this podcast. I was like, now what's the plan again? It's like, I never cared about his plan until I got older.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like I said, I figured it out on this rewatch. We've talked about it in the green room. And by the time we got from the green room to live, I was like, wait a minute, you know?
Yeah.
But it makes perfect sense, you know? Because his entire scheme, shaking him down, having his muscle, blowing up and destroying the property, was just to get them out of there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't a bad plan.
No.
It wasn't for that damn Dalton, Those meddling kids.
No. Oh, one. That was my one last thing. What was Dalton's first name? They don't mention it.
I mean, I know because I looked it up, but
what is
it? Why don't you tell us? Because I mean, this is your story.
Okay. It's a James.
James Rodriguez.
Yeah, no, it's not the football player. That's James. It's James. And
James Dalton, baby.
Where do we know that? How do we figure that out?
We figured it out because it's actually on his medical chart that Doc is holding, where she's reading off his list of wounds and injuries.
Yes. His dossier.
His dossier, and he keeps it with him.
That's right.
Does that mean they update it and then give it back to him, his medical records? I guess. I mean, you have access to your medical records whenever you want.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of a medical record called a dossier before?
I have. I mean, no, not particularly. Unless I'm talking about where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, but I don't think that was a medical record.
Yeah.
That's where I learned that word. Yeah. I mean, the reason we brought up James Rodriguez is Los Cafeteros, the Colombian soccer team, is into the finals against Argentina.
That's right.
I'm going for Colombia.
So
are you.
I know that it's James now.
James.
But wasn't it Hamas before?
Oof.
All this stuff? I thought they used to pronounce it Hamas. Either way.
I don't know.
James is better.
Well, you remember
it should
like
be pronounced Hamas.
Remember at UF, the internet service or whatever was called ISIS?
That's right.
It was ISIS.
Yeah.
That didn't age well.
No.
Or the IT portion of, I don't know what the hell. I don't know anything about computer science. But yeah, so I always thought it was James Rodriguez. I don't even know if I'm saying it right because I don't speak Colombian Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good talk. So, anyways, yes, no, I just second everything you said. With all its faults, I still love this movie. And you know, it's funny. Like, there's even parts where, like, I'm like, that's not really good acting on Swayze's part.
Yeah.
Like when he's having that conversation with Emmett.
Yeah.
It seems kind of disjointed a little, but I don't care.
No.
It's funny. You know, and then he's doing Tai Chi and he's, you know, like I said, he's sleeping naked and Carrie Ann's loving it.
Oh yeah. Carrie Ann was all
and
over
she's,
it.
Oh, and that was another thing. That was real quick though, that she's kind of awkward waitress.
Mm-hmm.
Like a couple days or weeks. I don't know how long what the passage of time in this movie is, but like she's singing with the band. And apparently that was a scene that included because they wanted to like show how like people were getting more comfortable in the double deuce now, you know, and like kind of blossoming because the Dalton's positive influence on the, not just his behavior was influencing people, but like they were feeling more comfortable in the environment. And I thought that was an awesome, you know, like I kind of, this last time I was watching it, I was like, you know, good for her for coming out of her shell a little because she definitely seemed nervous. And actually, she's a real singer.
Mm-hmm.
They discovered, I think. And then the guy who I keep referring to as Dirty, the bartender who Wesley's nephew who was stealing money, is actually the lead singer, Don Doe. He's a lead singer of like a band.
Yeah.
Called X.
John Doe.
So that's four legitimate singers in this movie. Oh, and Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, he wrote a couple songs for the soundtrack.
He did. And you know, and he's probably a gold record person from Dirty Dancing. He's saying She's Like the Wind.
Yeah.
So like that's five at least, like, you know, legitimate singers in this movie. I guess it's more of a musical.
It could be.
Yeah, maybe so, maybe not. Anyways, love the movie. Highly recommend it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So where can everybody find us at, man?
Dude, so this podcast is available on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, I should say, and Spotify. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and follow and share this episode with your friends because everybody you know loves movies. I want to thank our sponsor, Pandemic Sauce Company. That's Pandemic Sauce Company. Enter code Automatic Rewind at checkout for a discount. And if you have any movie suggestions for us to review, please send them to cousinbailey@gmail.com. That's cousinbailey@gmail.com. And I promise we will consider it.
Awesome. Well, this is fun.
I think we already have another one in the hopper.
Oh, big time.
Francis Ford Coppola still alive. So still it won't be a Francis Ford Coppola movie. No,
we did a wellness check on Francis Ford. He's still doing okay.
he's still kicking, but no, it was awesome. I loved watching this movie, and
yes,
till next time, loyal listeners, we're out.
See you.